are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Hello, one and all, and welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast, where heavy metal is the law and court is always in session. I'm your host, Dual Guest, joined by Richard Donahue and Peter Bog for this, the very special Albums of the Year episode for the year 2023, our top 10 albums, plus an honorable mention. Let's dive right the fuck into it. Bog, how are you doing? Welcome back.
I'm doing well. Glad to be here. It's maybe the sixth time that we've sat down to do this together, Duel. So it's definitely an honor, and I'm happy to be back.
Just a bit of a tradition we're starting here. And Donahue, what about yourself, sir? How are you?
Doing great. Just got off work, got a shower, a couple beers, ready to rock and roll.
The pulse, shaking off the post-Christmas hangover, if you're anything like me. But glad to talk some heavy metal, the best heavy metal in the year 2023. For those of you who have never heard a Fundamentalist Podcast, Top Albums of the Year podcast, we're going to do this round table style. We'll each go around saying our number 10 and then move on to number 9 and so on until we have all crowned our album of the year. But first, let's start off with our honorable mentions. And Richard Donahue, you may take point.
Sure. All right. So, I had a couple I was kind of throwing around, but I had to give this one. Now I'm getting that asshole. Anyways, but my honorable mention for this year would be the new Phobocosm album, Foreordained. Fucking great for a band I really like to come back for 6 or 7 years and have a respectable, really killer follow-up instead of a disappointing piece of shit like Primordial unfortunately did this year with their newest album. But still a killer record. Favorite tracks would be the opening song, Real Song, Primal Dread, and the final track for An Aeon. Very atmospheric.
That's right. Atmospheric death metal. Although I think it's kind of funny that you are putting it as the honorable mention of top albums of the year and you're like, respectable. What the fuck is this? Have the standards slipped? Bog, what's your honorable mention for 2023?
Let me rectify the situation. So my honorable mention is Death Album 4 from Death Clock. Gardener of Vengeance. I'm going to read some lyrics here. He's the punisher of industry, the heathen tracker. Your guts will be liquefied by a weed whacker. Do I even need to explain any further? Go out and listen to this
thing. Classic Brendan Small Death Clock shit. They actually just put out another movie that was like actually supposed to end the series. I haven't watched it yet. Any of y'all get the chance to check it out?
Nope. Nah. We do another segment of the Fundamentalists Go to the Movies here in the future.
Absolutely. We should. That would be a fun. We haven't done one in a long time. We need more heavy metal themed movies. Maybe whenever this long, oft rumored Lemmy or Metallica biopic releases, we can actually get this happening. My honorable mention for 2023 is a fantastic piece of black metal that I actually discovered here towards the end of the year. And I made sure that I shared it with everybody that I could, including my co-host of the Fundamentalist Podcast. And that is One of Nine's latest, Eternal Sorcery. Fantastic traditional melodic black metal. I'd give you some standout tracks, but really they're all really cool. But I guess I should go ahead and tell you Lurkers of the Half-Light, The Silence of Heaven, Mother of Shadows, and Wrathful Rebirth. Cool shit. Every single track on the album is fucking killer, though. Highly recommend it. Just barely is held out from the top 10. Eternal Sorcery from 1 of 9 is my honorable mention for 2023. I'll go ahead and give my number 10 as well. And that's going to be Urfaust's Untergang. Now, Urfaust is one of the more unique bands, at least vocally, in the world of black metal. And unfortunately, this is their swan song. They released this record on August 11th, along with a note saying, that's it, we're done. Basically a suicide note for the band. And it is about as melancholic and disturbing as a suicide note would be. Just what you'd want from Urfaust, dripping with atmosphere, miasma, and really that's kind of same weirdness that you've come to know, love, or at the very least respect from Urfaust. And Untergang is the 10th best album of 2023 for me. Bog, what about you? What's your number 10?
All right, coming in at number 10, and Duel, you already know what this is. Richard's going to roll his eyes pretty hard here, but I have 72 Seasons from Metallica. when Metallica releases an album, it's worth paying attention to, simply because they are, in fact, the kings looking down on us from their ivory tower. But I was fairly high on certain aspects of 72 Seasons, and I want to just remind everybody that If Darkness Has a Son is pretty much the reason why this thing is worth listening to exclusively. But there's some other Chasing Light and You Must Burn are also great ones. This is a fairly self-indulgent record for Metallica, too, which is kind of territory that we haven't seen them dabble in a whole lot, considering it used to be basically, here's your eight fucking tracks, we'll see you in 5 years format for a long time. So yeah, go ahead and check it out. Who knows if we'll ever get another one is something that I was reflecting on, because, you know, anything could happen to any of those guys at any time. So if this is, in fact, the last Metallica album that we ever see, then I'd say that they went out on a little bit of a high note. So that's why it's my number 10.
Donahue, what's your number 10?
The 10th best record, and I hate to put it here because it's a fantastic album to talk about in length, but I thought there were nine better. But coming at number 10, I have Hellripper's Warlocks, Grim, and Withered Hags. Talk about detail, fucking fantastic. First three tracks, Duck Levy, I to See the Towel track, are fucking great. But I also like to call out Goat Vomit Nightmare, maybe my favorite off the record as a whole, but I love this band. They're great. You turned on them early this year with their demo collection, like the really raw album for 2017. So maybe I get to see in the U.S. play MDF or something. I guess some European black thrash build would be fucking great.
Looking forward to seeing them myself with a Bot and Toxic Holocaust in February.
Yeah.
It's great. Bog, you haven't got a chance to lead off a number yet. So why don't you give us your number 9?
All right, coming in at number 9, I have Black Braid 2 from Black Braid. Love some tracks like Moss Covered Bones on the Altar of the Moon. I wasn't sure if I thought this was a step forward or a step backward from Black Braid 1, if I was being honest. I know that it was hotly anticipated, and I would kind of say maybe they sort of, delivered another tasty entree, but not necessarily that much progress, which is why this doesn't necessarily inch its way higher on my list. But that being said, if you're a fan of this band, then it's just a lot more of the same, and you can't necessarily be mad about that. So just to shout out a couple of other ones, the Twilight Hymn of Ancient Blood was also another really great one. You gotta love these song titles, right? I had to actually expand my YouTube music screen to encompass the whole of my monitor, so that way I won't get the ellipses on a lot of these.
That album's all about the Song of Death and the Winds of Dawn for me.
I gotta agree. That's a fucking great track.
That's another album that almost made it onto my list as well. It was just sniffing around, and I think kind of like you, maybe, I don't know if this was such a step forward, because the original Black Braid was on my top albums list when it came out, but
mine as well last year. I think that this one was hotly anticipated for me personally, and so to see it be, I don't know, I don't want to say a lateral move exactly, but you know, just, I don't want to diminish it, basically not their fucking Master of Puppets moment, made it a slight disappointment. But overall, really quality black metal. It's a lot of fun. Listen to it.
Donahue, give us your number 9.
Coming at number 9 was like kind of albums kind of dropped without a lot of fanfare, really not a lot of news, but the newest Autopsy record, Ashes, Organs, Blood, and Crypts, just kind of dropped it out of the blue. And I'd say it's phenomenal. I think it's a lot better album from last year, which I thought was good. I thought the drums sound a little dry. The energy wasn't really there. This one, I'm sure they're taking speed or something. This is honestly the fastest Autopsy record since Severed Survival back in 87. It is just ripping solos all throughout it. Like, it's great. Favorite tracks would be the opening track, Rabid Funeral, the title track, and Well of Entrails. If you like classic Autopsy, I can't recommend this record enough. It's fucking great.
Nice. So for me, keeping with the black metal theme, coming in at number 9 for me is Triad 3, Nyx from Switzerland's Aura.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Beautiful, melodic, furious mix of black metal. Only 6 songs, 41 minutes, so it really lends itself well to multiple listens. Tracks like Heimgesucht, Moribunda, and Des Wanderers Traum are just succinct, epic pieces of melancholic black metal. Totally epic, beautiful harmonies. I could listen to this record all day, and honestly, this record flirted with being higher on the list. It's really just the quality of the records that come after that is the reason it's as low as number nine, on my list for the best albums of 2023. Richard, go ahead and give us your number 8.
All right. My number 8 was a late one that came up when listening for the black metal episode, but that would be a Ebony Pendant self-titled album. I pretty much talked about ad nauseum. It's fucking great. the idyllic gate between realms, he who casts long shadows and in the permanence of all, just fantastic, furious fucking black metal.
With you didn't mention the coolest track on the record, The Immortal Son of Damnation, sir.
That's a great one, too, but I mean, it is, again, everything you want in black metal records. Raw, it's melodic, there's acoustic guitars, enough ebb and flow, too. It's cult as fuck. It's great. Fucking, I've tried to buy a physical copy. It's digital only, unfortunately, at this point. But once there's a physical format of vinyl, I'm scooping that motherfucker up so goddamn fast. Oh, but yeah. Yes, Ebony Pet is my number 8.
Bach, what about you?
All right, coming in at number 8, I have Into Sorrow Evermore from Imperium Decadence. So this was an album that I wasn't exactly super high on when I reviewed it, but it is one that actually stayed in my rotation surprisingly to me. In particular, I'm a huge fan of Memories of Raging River. The last track is... It's really an opera. It's a saga. It's one of the Lord of the Rings movie all into itself. It's got so many different parts and layers, and there's really high quality songwriting. I think that this was another one where they were coming off the curtails of, you know, high expectations there. And, you know, when do things ever meet something, you know, triumphantly? I think that this year there's been a lot of great metal, not to characterize it over from make a general characterization here from great bands, but there were a few things that really sort of shocked my senses in every sense. And we can talk a little bit more about that as we progress up my list, but love me some Imperium Decadence. Another great one is Aurora, Awaken Beyond Dreams as well. So all in all, really fantastic atmospheric black metal, really some of the best up there. I mean, their particular slant on it is one of my absolute favorites, and that's why they get number 8 slot.
Taking a real trip in the Wayback Machine. We reviewed that on the very first review episode of the pod way back in January. Seems like a lifetime ago. My number 8 comes to us from Finland, and that's the first full-length release from Moonlight Sorcery. Their record, Horn, Lord of the Thorned Castle, is fantastic. Downright danceable black metal, Children of Bodom without the cheese, really 80s sort of bravado and guitar hero worship mixed in with some downright catchy black metal. It's a fantastic combination. It has truly met my expectations, considering the fantastic quality of the EPs that they released earlier last year. And I can't wait to see where this band goes. The future is bright, and they're already putting out such quality releases in their first releases. Let's see how high this band can fly. Horn Lord of the Thorned Castle from Moonlight Sorcery is my number 8. My number 7, total genre shift, so it's leaned pretty black metal heavy, comes to us from Megaton Sword. Their album Might and Power really took me by surprise. Fantastic power metal. Really great sing-along shit. Tracks like Iron Plains, Power, and A Coward's Remain are absolute earworms. They'll stick in your head all day. The album really lends itself well for multiple listens, as a good power metal should. Really nice mid-tempo shit, too. Kind of in between the long hair and oiled pecs power metal and the D&D nerds in their mom's basement power metal. Megaton Sword, Might and Power is the 7th best record of 2023 for me. Bog.
All right, coming in at number 7, I have The Rime of Memory from Panopticon. So I was not on the review pod, and I don't think that you guys were unjust in some of your criticism that you levied against this record, but I overall was more positive on it. I was actually quite harsh on And Again Into the Light, and I think I learned from that experience.
Yes, you were.
and repeat, just to say that Panopticon's brand, I know that I was doting on Imperium Decadence a second ago, but in many ways, Austin Lund can do no wrong in my mind. I do think that this one starts really strong and ends not quite as strong, although I wasn't quite damning it for that. If you can make it through Winter's Ghost and Cedar Skeletons, which are basically the two standout tracks, one of them being a whopping 19 minutes and 57 seconds long.
Yeah. That intro's way too long.
You should know whether or not you're going to like this record. And I got to say, I know that I slacked the group when I was listening to this for the first time, and I was like, there's just a high and an atmosphere and a sublime sense of wonder that only Panopticon can put me in. And man, that last 2 minutes or so of Cedar Skeletons had me right there.
Oh, dude.
So, you know, I where is it in the canon of their, career? We're not going to redo the Under the Knife Panopticon at any time soon. But if you haven't heard that, you should go back and take a listen. It's not bumping Roads to the North in my all-time ranking of Panopticon's records, but I think that it is a fine addition to their discography. And I don't think that Austin Lund does anything carelessly. He owns his own freaking label, so he's not really under any pressure to put out music. And so when he does, I assume that it's a fully formed and well-considered artistic statement. And I think that The Rime of Memory is, and I'm still frankly digesting it myself, but it was good enough to make it into number 7 on my records for 2023.
there's a lot to fucking digest. Five real songs, well over an hour in length. Like, I'll talk more about this later when I get to one of my other mentions. Donahue.
All right, coming in at number 7, I have the only grindcore, death grind, whatever to call it. Eat the Decay, the album's Nefarious Means. They're a grindcore, death grind band from Texas. And really killer shit. It's like 35 minutes long. There's lots of ebb and flow. I wouldn't say it's necessarily catchy, but it's fairly memorable as far as grindcore goes. And it keeps you sucked in. And one thing I realized while been listening to this record for a few months was the fact that the vocalist was the original, was the vocalist of Dark Ray, which Ruben from Imprecation, that was his first band. Fantastic album, like death grind type stuff. Favorite tracks, opening track, Kill for Company, Overpower, and Overpower, Overthrow, and Nuclear Fog. Great, sick-ass grindcore, death grind. Check it out.
Give us your number 6 as well.
And coming in at number 6 is another late edition I got from the black metal episode, and that is Three Eyes from the Void with The Atheist. Fucking phenomenal, sleek, progressive, melodic. Like, this is like black metal here at a goddamn jazz bar. You're smoking cigars, sipping on Dom Perrier or some shit. Shit. Oh, it's great. Favorite tracks, where the Descent with that sexy fucking saxophone, and No More Life. But every real song, minus the two kind of intro songs, are great tracks. So title tracks, The Atheist as well, is great. The whole thing's phenomenal. I can't recommend it enough.
Just to piggyback on yours, my number 6 record of the year is also The Atheist from Three Eyes of the Void. Bog, I remember sending you Three Eyes of the Void like a year or two ago when this band was first coming out. So if you haven't had it and you liked it, so if you haven't had a chance to check this record out, do it. Pretty much to parrot what Richard said, like really proggy, really melodic, fantastic instrumentation, continuing the full-on saxophone invasion of our beloved heavy metal, but really classily done here. There's really nothing negative I can say about this. Not overly indulgent. Song lengths are totally in check. I would also add that Against the One is another fantastic track that's on this record. Yes. The highlights really come in tracks 2, 3, and 4, which I think is kind of a bold choice. There's not like a banger to start off and a banger to end with. Like, I think the middle of the record is where it really excels. But the whole thing is great. Highly recommend it. Three Eyes of the Void, The Atheist is my number 6 record of 2023. Bug.
All right. My number 6 is Warlocks, Grim, and Withered Hags from Hellripper. So thank you so much for introducing me to this group this year, Duel. I know that they've been a little bit of one of your, I was going to say pets there for a second, but maybe not a completely unapt description. I can picture you being Dr. Evil stroking the back of this album quite a bit. But man, like I went back and listened to my review of it because I know that this is another one going way back into the year. And
this was on the Imperium Decadence reviews. Imperium Decadence, Ahab, and Hellripper.
Yeah, unfortunately, one of those did not make this list. But all that I want to say is that the technicality on this record is completely off the charts. It's got this really fun, nostalgic sound to it, but it's not... it doesn't feel stale or particularly reverential. Like, it's just, it kind of feels like an authentic expression of what Hellripper is really trying to do. I haven't heard their record prior to this. I know that you and Richard talked about it on the reviews.
Affair of the Poisons, yeah.
Basically, the Cursed Carrion Crown, I think, is basically the crown of the record, to go ahead and pun that one out, too. But the Knuckle of E cannot be overstated. I'm sure that all of us have said more than we ever expected. Basically, I love it. I'm really a huge fan of his vocals. Like, some of my top vocal performances here in the world of metal, I love how saturated and discernible a black metal delivery like that is infused with some kind of old school sound. It's not something you come across a whole lot. You know, I think that when bands that slide by with some profoundly subpar vocals, I'm looking at you, Alexi Laiho. So anyways, Warlocks, Grim, and Withered Hags is my number 6 record of 2023.
I think I said it on the review back in January that the first minute and a half of the opening track, The Knuckle of E, might be like the most perfect 90 seconds of heavy metal that I've heard in a really long time. It just totally draws you in, sucks you into the record, and it really doesn't let go all the way through the very end of the record. Stay tuned for more thoughts on it. Bog, what's your number 5 record of the year?
All right, number 5, I have Ontological Mysterium from Horrendous. Horrendous was one of these groups where I was like, oh yeah, like, they were pretty cool. When are they going to put out some music again? And so they go totally Enslaved and drop this like super technical record on us. I wasn't expecting it. I haven't around a whole lot, but Neon Leviathan is a great track. It's track number 3. And then I also really like the Cult of Shadow.
Shadow. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one.
On the whole, though, I mean, this was a shocker, which I think is why it made its way into my top five here. So big fan of this band. I also love whenever a band can actually do heaviness. I'm pretty sure that everything here is standard tuning or maybe just a half step down, but it doesn't have a super vintage sound to it, but it isn't making a point to be especially sonically heavy or guttural in any particular way. And I think that that was kind of a risky choice. They've always kind of flirted with that territory, but it felt maybe more pronounced considering they dialed the technicality up to 11 on this one. So yeah. Go out and check yourself out, Ontological Mysterium from Horrendous.
Richard, what's your number five record?
My number five is also Horrendous, Ontological Mysterium. I'm actually seeing these guys a second time tomorrow here in Worcester at a sold-out show at Ralph's Rock Diner, where I saw Debbie Lynch also play a sold-out show. So very stoked for that. But yeah, this record, it's all the weird technical sort of prog shit. They just kind of jumped straight into the fucking deep end. The last one, Idol, I felt was a little more atmospheric. Like, it was all right, but this to me is just the superior record. Also, a little more thrasher, kind of just old school element in certain songs. And vocally, their guitarist just kind of goes for it. Like, they're unhinged. There's like some clean singing parts that kind of come out of fucking nowhere. It just kind of works. It's like a train. It's like about to go off the fucking tracks, and somehow it stays on and just keeps on going. So the dude is Damon's vocals in the early records. That's my only kind of complaint, but maybe with the style, his vocals weren't what they were looking for, so I could see why he always think track 8's only song really does main vocals on. But I love this record. The title track, The Cult, The Shenandoah, and first real song, Chrysopoeia, The Archaeology of Dawn. I probably butchered that, but it's great progressive death metal that I cannot recommend enough.
So for me, the number five record of the year comes to us from Sweden, The Return of In Flames. Their record Foregone really took me by surprise. It really, all of us really, really enjoyed this record when it came out, when we reviewed it. There are so many amazing, catchy bangers on this record. The Beginning of All Things That Will End, State of Slow Decay, Meet Your Maker, Pure Light of Mine, The Great Deceiver, In the Dark, A Dialogue in B-flat Minor, and The Transmission. Yes. I basically said almost every single track on this record. I can't tell you which one's the biggest earworm. There's some fantastic sections, some melodic metal. There's even the classic Mellow Death album opener of an acoustic guitar intro, reminiscent of classic At the Gates. I cannot speak highly enough about this record. The Return of In Flames that we all love. Foregone from In Flames is my number five record of the year. And since I went last, I'll go ahead and give us number four. And that is taking it back to the black metal. It's American Gothic from Wayfarer. Now, we gave this album a lot of credit for reining in some of the self-indulgence, leaving it enough on the cutting room floor, as Bog likes to say. And I criticized Panopticon a little bit, as much as it hurt me to do so, for failing to rein in some of their indulgences. You have to give a lot of credit for Wayfarer for turning these 20-minute songs into more 8-minute songs, and they are all the better for it. Tracks like To Enter, My House Justified, Reaper of the Oil Fields, just classic Wayfarer. By far their best record. We discussed how we didn't know how they could ever top A Romance with Violence, and maybe they had peaked this whole Western Frontier black metal sound, but somehow they managed to top themselves. And again, I find myself wondering how they'll ever top it again. But if American Gothic is any indication, then I'll just sit back, relax, and let Wayfarer continue to impress me. American Gothic is the fourth best record of 2023. Bog.
All right, coming in at number four, I have Terracite from Cattle Decapitation. I was really high on this record. I still am really high on this record. But as time has gone on, I think I said this on the air, that I still think that Death Atlas is a better record. And I think that I've read some interviews with Travis Ryan, and he said that this was a little bit of a pivot in their minds in musical direction.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it's a pivot downward. It's just a pivot to a different thing. Again, I'm coming in straight here with criticism, so let me go ahead and heap some praise. I don't think if you don't know, Travis Ryan is the absolute goat metal vocalist at this point. Just a second ago, I was saying that praise needs to be overstated on a you know, vocalist who can do new and interesting things, and there's really nobody else that does what the Dying Goat vocalist that's characterized on Reddit a lot of the time.
The Throat Goat.
He's the one. Who else is doing that? Nobody. And this, I think I said previously, that made me guilty to be alive. I mean, it's the most misanthropic record I've ever heard in my entire life. And the fact that there's enough substance there in the story, which is something is so severely lacking in so much other metal music, was really quite chilling. The one thing that I wish that I had a little bit more of from this one is just a little bit stickier riffs. You know, if you asked me to go ahead and hum like the refrain from Scourge of the Offspring. Not exactly like they're that kind of band, but I couldn't do it. You know, I think that that's maybe the one thing, is that when this one fell out of my rotation, it fell out. Like I didn't find myself coming back to it because there weren't those little sticky moments. But man, if you want to be pummeled and just and feel something fucking crazy, I can't recommend Terracite enough. I love the album cover. I know that I'm usually the one who talks about the art, even though I hate music videos, but it's actually, it is a painting, even though it looks a lot like a sculpture. I mean, it's very impressive overall. Shout out some tracks. I already said Scourge of the Offspring. I think it's one of the best tracks on the record, but I really am high on Dead End Residence. And then Just Another Body, the final track.
Dude, it's fucking great, dude.
I've got to just talking opinion. About it right now. It's maybe the first time we saw Travis Ryan do actually clean vocals.
Haunting.
It's just, yeah, Haunting is probably the best characterization that I could make to Duel. So overall, Terracite, number four, it fucking rules.
Richard.
Coming at number four is a nice return with one of my favorite bands. That would be Catatonia with their newest record, Sky, Void, Stars.
What the fuck?
Honestly, even I would kind of dare to call this metal, but most people do. So that's why I'm putting it in this category. But
in this category, the number three record of the year is not even metal on your metal podcast. What the fuck? What is this?
If there's enough metal, call it metal, guy. If we're calling this post-cult the loot of shit metal, kind of totally metal too, so fuck off.
I guess their last metal too, whatever.
They're new metal, so technically, I guess so. Hair metal's technically metal too, so I want to go to this fucking rabbit hole. But anyways, their last album, City Burials, was by far the worst record they'd ever done. Ironically, the first one where Anders Nystrom did not do any songwriting on, and it was essentially Yoda's solo record. And this one is still a Yoda's solo record, as he writes all the songs of this album here. But it's a lot better. It's a lot catchy. There's a lot better flow to it. And honestly, the way it's looking, this might be the last album, because Yoda's is a tour with Bloodbath, and it's not true with Catatonia. Their last year's tour, this year, he's not even banned anymore. So it might be the last one. If it's the last one, I'd say it's somewhat of a high note. Favorite tracks, Birds, Dragoon, and the second track, Colossal Shade.
By this logic, I'd put Manuel from Zealand Ardor's solo project at number three right here. It's not metal at all.
That's a bit much there, sir.
Bog.
All right, number three, I have Heimdall from Enslaved. So this is probably one of the best records that Enslaved has put out in a really long time. I was a little indifferent about Utgard. I thought that it leaned very accessible, and then they came back and decided to just sort of blow the doors off of accessibility and start doing weird, not synced, like, you know, over tracking and like weird psychedelic, like harpsichord. I mean, I think I listened back to what I had said about it previously, and Duel, I think your characterization was, you know, we never thought we would be so excited to see like Jefferson Airplane become like a heavy metal band. And I think that that's really a good way to try and put this, in that one of the things that I said then, and I'm going to repeat it, is that Enslaved is incapable of not pushing the boundaries at this point. And this is a phenomenal example of it. To shout out some tracks, I think that Forest Dweller is really kind of the peak of this sort of new sound. Very, very high prog sound that they put in. But Kingdom is also really phenomenal. It's sort of harkens back to what I'm going to call sort of late era Enslaved. And then Caravans of the Outer World, I think, came out on an EP previously too. But when I was shouting out some of the alternative instrumentation besides just the guitars taking the lead on that, I think that's a really great spot on to that. That's a really great entry point for that. One of the things that kept this from being the number one record of the year for me is that one of the things that's scaring me a little bit is it feels like maybe they're moving away from metal in like a really permanent way. I think that all of the interesting parts of this were not the heavy moments of it. It seems like maybe they've lost a little bit of inspiration from that. And, you know, that's kind of a damn shame. And since we're a metal podcast, I do have to notch them for that, even though I consider this to be really this is some absolute pros putting on some of the best performances that they ever have in their career. The fact that they toured this with one guitar player for a while, I think, was a little bit of a strange decision, and seemed to actually just politely decline to do that. But I also don't want to claim like I know anything about trying to make a living as a musician, and so, you know, it could be worse. You don't want to end up Chuck Schuldiner backing out of all of your tour commitments, you know, because we saw how that detrimented Death. So overall, huge. If you've listened to this podcast, you know that I'm a huge Enslaved stan, and so this probably isn't going to be a big surprise, really. But Heimdall was a record that was intimidating even for me at first. I wasn't sure what to make of it. And then as time has gone on, I've come to realize that it is, in fact, probably some of the best material that Enslaved's ever put out. And that's why it's my number three of 2023.
It's really funny that Enslaved, like, you know, came from the world of black metal, and now not only do they, are they pushing the bounds of what it means to be black metal, they're pushing the bounds of even what it means to be metal. It's funny how you can still embrace your black metal roots and at the same time ask, like, not only is this not the subgenre you started in, are you even in the same genre anymore? But at the same time, keep the metal fandom engaged. It's not on my top 10 list at all, but it's certainly one of the more unique records of the year. And I guess a parallel you could draw was maybe with In Flames, how they kind of moved away from metal for a few records. Not their finest hours, in my opinion, and in a lot of metal fans' opinions, but we'll see. We'll see what the future has in store for Enslaved. Critically speaking, they're at the top of their game right now, so we'll see what else they've got coming in the years to come. So for me, the number three record of the year is fucking Ebony Pendant, their self-titled release. Amazing piece of traditional black metal, right down to the Xerox black and white album cover, dripping with atmosphere.
Hold the necklace.
Yeah, I was brushing my teeth, looking at myself in the mirror, and my wife is brushing my teeth with me, and she saw me stop, and like my upper lip curled as the opening chords to "The Immortal Son of Damnation" started, and she was like,
"It's a
you like it?" I'm like, "This is the ultimate sign of respect you can give to any metal riff, that upper lip curl, like that is nasty." And
arms folded, head bobbing.
Yeah, bitter beer face, man. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the rest of the record's fixing to be sick, but it's just like, okay, you've got me, guys. I'm on board. Thankfully, that energy never really lets up. Fantastic piece of black metal. Honestly, probably the best black metal record that came out this year. And it's been a really strong year for black metal. We listed 34 albums on our year end, and then I found four or five more that aren't on the episode, which I feel bad for. Yeah. That absolutely should have been. So next year we'll aim for over 40 to atone for this injustice for leaving off some very deserving records from the Blackest of the Black 2023 episode. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, please. We'd very much appreciate it. Let us know what you think about that. But Ebony Pendant's self-titled release is the third best record of 2023, according to me, your host, dual guest. Richard, what's your number three record of the year?
My number three record of the year is a record I didn't know was coming out till probably 6 months ago. What band I've talked about before, their first full-length, Thou Majestic Ruin, is my favorite Death Doom records of all time. And that would be A Dusk from Wisconsin and the new album, Dissolve into Ash. And just kind of, they did released an EP called Withdraw back in 2018, which I've owned for years. If I listened to it about 6 months ago, I was really impressed by. So bringing the doominess with the melancholy, they kind of female vocals are a little more prominent, but not some like Epica, Lacuna Coil type of way. You know, it enhanced the music. It was the focal point. And this new record here, they bring a little bit of black metal. It's a little bit of riffing, a little bit of screams and shit here and there. But overall, it's the style they started with. And two of the standouts, probably two of the standouts, period, the whole record would be Libations Offer, which may be, in my opinion, one of the best songs they ever wrote, and Shrouded in Mist. I mean, it's just phenomenal fucking shit. And after 28 years, to come back with another full length and just obliterate pretty much a lot of the very crowded Death Doom market is pretty fucking great. And cannot wait for my physical copy to finally arrive. Hopefully, I think in January, supposed to come out physical copy wise. But yes, Dusk, Dissolve into Ash, best Death Doom record of the year.
Go ahead and give us your number two as well.
And coming in at number two, this was very hard. I had to swap them back and forth to start recording, would be In Flames Foregone. Discussed in detail. It's fucking great. Great return to form. Some of the chorus are a little slightly sappier for my taste. Even Killswitch should shudder a bit at it, but still, it's fucking great, phenomenal. The rest record in 10 plus years, and I can't recommend it enough.
Great choice.
Bach, your number two.
All right, my number two is American Gothic from Wayfarer. So this is another one that I was sort of noodling back and forth with the number one slot. I hate to be such a fanboy. A Romance with Violence was back 21. I was fairly critical of this record on the air too, you know, but the reality is my God, this thing is rad. Dude, I fucking love this. Like, I mean, the Thousand Tombs of Western Promise. Like, let's just start there. I mean, it's 7 minutes of near perfection. I don't love the clangy piano, but the one thing that I will say that Wayfarer got right and they really nailed it is the sound on this one. Like, if they made every record using the exact same rigs and the exact same production, I would have zero complaints. I mean, this is just one of the best black metal sounding one of the best sounding and produced black metal records tonally that I've ever heard. I absolutely dote upon it. Huge fans of these guys. I, you know, traveled to Denver to go hang out at True so that way I could chit chat with the guitar player behind the bar. You know, it's phenomenal. The Black Plumes Over God's Country. I don't want to just, you know, wax without citing some specific notes there, but there's a really kind of interesting sort of Led Zeppelin, sort of like middle era Led Zeppelin, like Houses of the Holy feel to that track in particular that originally I was kind of taken aback by, but I kind of said, you know, this to me is maybe the direction that this band is going to go into. You know, like some people will criticize them for saying that maybe it's not going to be as metal as it is, but that's actually new territory for a band. Wayfarer, I mean, this is their, what, fifth record, I think, at this point. They're still uncovering new sonic territory, and I think that pays tribute to the technical ability from these guys. And the fact that they have other bands that they're pouring creative output into really shows that they're just brimming with creativity and expertise in all things that have to do with heavy metal. So The Cattle Thief is another fantastic one. I mean, I could just read through the track listing at this point. High Plains Eulogy.
Bitingly cynical, like The Cattle Decapitation.
Yeah, I want to praise them for going ahead and making these. It's funny how, you know, a bunch of guys that do a metal podcast can send you a 7-minute song to be sort of an approachable, non-indulgent version of it. But for a group that previously regularly put out 12-plus-minute tracks, I mean, we're not quite in Panopticon territory here ever with Wayfarer, but I think that overall it was a far more focused and intentional record. I'd like to see every subsequent Wayfarer release exhibit the same level of focus and production that we see on American Gothic, and that's why it's my number two record of 2023.
For me, my number two record of 2023 is a record both of you already had on your list, and that is Warlock's Grim and Wither's Hags from Hellripper. There's not a whole lot more I can say that you two have not already said. The riffs, killer, the leads, ripping, the attitude dripping from every orifice that this album has. The Knuckle of E is amazing. Eye Deceiver is amazing. The title track's amazing. None of y'all mentioned the final track, which is actually possibly the best, maybe second best. The Knuckle of E is unfuckable. And that's Maester Store Worm. Man, perfect mix of thrash metal, new wave of British heavy metal, and black metal. Really, really young band. I feel like this and the Affair of the Poisons, their previous record, is really where this band is starting to get noticed. Their star is rising in the world of heavy metal, and for damn good reason. The riffs are catchy. The lyrics are catchy. The vocals are fantastic. The vocals fit really well. It's just dripping with attitude. It's great. There's so much energy from this record. It's really one of the reasons you love to listen to this, to not only heavy metal, but this style of heavy metal. Warlock's Grim and Withered Hags is my number two record of 2023. And since I was the last one to give my number two, I'll be the first to give.
Let me just shout out one more thing that I wanted to mention about Warlock's Grim and Withered Hags is that let's not overlook the fact that this is basically a one-man project. Is that right? He recorded everything.
Yeah, he does everything.
His name. Like, I want to go ahead and give him clap because, you know, I got to say that there's somebody on Austin Lund's coattails here for taking the most badass one-man project in the black metal stratosphere here.
He's also introducing some bagpipes in there. Getting that, yeah, the Scottish Highlands personality in there. His name is James McBain.
The Scottish name ever.
Horns up, bro.
Absolutely. A rising star in the world of heavy metal, both McBain and Hellripper. And for me, my album of the year is a record that's already been mentioned here, but it never left my rotation, and so it's my album of the year, and that is Terracite from Cattle Decapitation. Much like Wayfarer, it is one of the most bitingly cynical records you will listen to all year. Utterly hopeless. The depravity and, I guess you could say, sneering at just humanity and our folly on every single track is readily apparent, from references to seminal swill to there's just too many of us, like a horde of flies. We need to die. The message of Cattle Decapitation is incredibly clear, but so is the sense of melody. And it's funny that, Bog, you were mentioning that you felt like there was maybe not a hummable guitar riff, but even if he does sound like a dying goat sometimes, Travis Ryan's vocals are the hummable part of this record. Tracks like Soul Nostalgia, Scourge of the Offspring, Just Another Body. Another track you did not mention, This World Will Go On Without You, is another one of my absolute favorites. Every single song on here is a banger, and none of them are skippable, obviously, because it's the album of the year. But goddamn, do I want to fast forward just so I can get to And This World Will Go On Without You, Soul Nostalgia, and Just Another Body.
The body's so great, dude. It's great.
Outright clean vocals coming from Travis Ryan. Like, you sounded like a vomiting, like a goat throwing up its lungs on its deathbed just like 30 seconds ago, and now you're having the most somber, haunting vocal performance of your career. Growth from this band. They get better with every single record. Maybe it's not as extreme as Death Atlas, but it's just as hard hitting, and it's going to stay with me for a long time. It's just another classic. This band just gets better and better and better. Musically, still pushing the boundaries. Vocally, vocal technique wise, still pushing the boundaries and getting catchy. I mean, what sort of death grind band is doing what they're doing? And Travis Ryan is fucking incredible. No. Josh Elmore is incredible. The rest of the Cattle Decapitation guys are incredible. And that's why Terracite is the album of the year, 2023. For me, your boy, Dual Guess.
Yeah, boy.
Donahue. Drum roll.
All right. Coming at number one, some unsigned Czech black metal one-man project. Just kidding. If you listen to the podcast, the past couple episodes, this number one should be very shocking. At this record, I enjoyed their first two albums. The third one, a bit of a letdown, is doing incorporate that melody and clean vocals a lot more, and just fucking rules. It entrenched itself in me and never left. And that would be the new Sulfuran record, Seven Crowns and Seven Seals. This record is fucking phenomenal. The melody is so easy, the clean vocals are a lot better used. It's still catchy. You still can bring these high emotional points, just bring it down the most like, blastiest death and black metal you ever fucking heard in your life. And it's that favorite album of the year. Favorite tracks, Yearning, Abyss Devours Us. The single, which is the weakest, one of the stronger songs, Arcane Cambrian Sorcery. The amazing title track, Beneath the Ziggurats, the final song. It's great. It's 45 minutes, even though some of those are the longer side, but it's great. I fucking love this record. Check that shit out. Sulfur Aeon. After a lull, the last record, Fly Back of the Ascent. Another band I love to see live. Come here, ass over to America, motherfuckers. Need to see that shit. What's up, Pete?
All right, y'all. So when considering the top record of 2023, I kind of said we had so many great bands put out mostly kind of lateral offerings. And so I'm going to go back and say American Gothic Wayfarer, I doted on it, but I've also speculated where does this band go from here. Heimdall from Enslaved, I'm afraid that they're giving up on metal. Terracite from Cattle Decapitation, while it was great and made me feel a lot of things, I said I wanted a little bit stickier riffs. The Rhyme of Memory was overly indulgent, I think, even for those of us who doted upon Opticon. And so there was kind of one record that stayed with me and was the biggest elation of the entire year, and that was Foregone from In Flames. This was really their return to form, and it's fucking fantastic. I'm glad to see that it was as high on the list, because I thought that this was going to be maybe more controversial, and apparently it is. But when I think about Meet Your Maker or the chorus and Bleeding Out, Richard, you said maybe it's a little bit sugary for you, but at this point I said, you know what, they committed to it. They just full-on
MCR'd. Oh, they did.
They full-on MCR'd, you know, the choruses on this one. You know, they said we're gonna make this shit, you know, radio rock, and they just went head first. I think
Howard Benson of Seether, this guy produced this record. They got a radio rock guy that makes hits to produce this record, and he
it shows earworm from start to finish.
It never left. I've been listening to this record for a year now, and you know, and it's probably not going to go away anytime soon. I you know, and some of the finer points about sort of the cynicism and things like that, I don't want to say are completely absent from here. I'm going to read some lyrics from the final track here on End Transmission. So it says, choose your side, there are no winners, hell is overcrowded and heaven's full of sinners. And then I'm jumping down, we've got to end.
That's one of the catchiest parts of the whole record too.
We've got to end the transmission. Nothing makes sense, and we're running out of graves. We've got to end the transmission. Nothing makes sense, and no one is listening. That line has really stayed with me, because I think that it's maybe reflective of the same attitude that is being projected on an album like Terracite in a different way. In Flames really went all in on this one. And although there are going to be the metal elites who think that this is maybe a little bit too Malcore to go ahead and claim it, I think that this is more than a return to form. I mean, this is outstanding. This is maybe a top three in Flames record. I'm a huge fan of Foregone, and that's why it's my number one record for 2023. I mean, at this point, you both basically mentioned the entire track listing, but just to run through it, Meet Your Maker, The Great Deceiver has always been a particular standout for me. I just quoted In Transmission. Love that fucking thing. I mean, there's so many great ones. A Dialogue in B flat.
Catch scores all record, my opinion, dude.
Richard, you said in the review, you know, you said they got the bag of sugar. They decided to just pour the whole fucking thing in. It really worked for them. A different band, it wouldn't have. But this is them doing In Flames in a really great and modern way, and it was the biggest, as I said, elation for me of 2023. So there you go.
Yeah. Straight banger. It was my number five. Where did it rank on yours, Richard? Was it on your list at all?
It was also number one. It'd be number two. Sulfur had edged out by like that much.
Okay, so consensus top five pick and both one and two for you. So there it is. There you have it, the 2023 best albums list from the Fundamentalist Podcast. Let's take some observations. So I think Cattle Decapitation was on everyone's list. I think it wasn't on yours. Okay. Hell Ripper was on everyone's list. Yeah. And In Flames was on everyone's list. Is that the only two records that all three of us agreed was?
This is a diverse list. There have been years where we're basically just sort of chasing each other's positions necessarily.
Yeah. I had Three Eyes of the Boy for you, Duel. And then me and P both had Horrendous. So that was the common.
Yeah. And you and I also shared Ebony Pendant as well.
Yeah, Ebony Pendant. So Ebony Pendant, yes.
Then, because I was the only one with Urfaust, I was the only one with Aura. I'm really surprised Moonlight Sorcery didn't make your list, Richard. We all had Wayfarer. Two of us had Wayfarer. All three of us have Wayfarer?
I'd have Wayfarer in mine. No, I like Moonlight. I like the album a lot, but there's just. Ebony Pendant and the fuck the rest of the war was just so goddamn good. And Hell Ripper,
the only one who had fucking 72 seasons, you guys? Come on, Metallica, right? Metallica.
I want to have a little bit of a segment here, and that's biggest surprises of the year. And for me, I'll just go ahead and say it. In a year where bands like Felcondra, Panopticon, and other heavy metal darlings, black metal darlings, especially me being the black metal guy of the podcast, when they all put out records this year, and they're all really good, but for none of them to make my top 10 was very surprising for me. And granted,
was flirting for my honorable mention, but
it was honest, me
I
as well.
You both preferred it to their album that came out in what, 2022 or 20? I can't remember. Into the Abyss or what was it called?
Into the Abyss is this record.
Yeah, the prior one. Yeah.
Whoops. Well, whatever that previous one was, that one made my top 10 list, and it's because I listened to that one a lot. For whatever reason, this new one didn't captivate me nearly as much.
Yeah, I did prefer it, and it was really good, and it was also flirting with an honorable mention for me. It was never going to be higher than 9 or 10, but as I said, there was a couple of records that really could have all slotted into the 9 or 10 spot, but I'm happy to include the bands that I did. Bog, what's your biggest surprise of 2023?
I mean, it's my number one record of the year, which is Foregone from In Flames. I think that's why it's slotted in there, is that, you know, I always had some kind of little nitpick with every other band, every other great record from really solid acts that we had. I think that we were pretty heavy on really great records from reliable sources this year. And so that made it a little bit of a game of nutshells, I think, when I was just sort of slotting these things around, trying to decide which one made me the most excited. And so ultimately that was it. Out of nowhere, In Flames just decided to drop a heaping slab of amazing Malcore on us. And you know, it's
Richard, what about you?
Biggest shocker. I don't know, honestly, the fact that, you know, this year I've been a jaded cunt, man. I'm just buying CDs, a lot of like Iced Earth and Agalloch and shit like that. Like, they're focusing on the past, like finishing, you know, discographies, erects don't like, just because I'm a fucking nerd like that. You know, kind of this past 2 months, I just dig it back in the metal. So she'll be great. Black really posted, and I know it's been cool. Horrendous was great. The Sulfur Air record, the new Flames, too, was fucking great. And I'll tell you the record, also, I'll mention, if I had more options, was Dokken's new record. That's actually really fucking killer. Either Don's vocals are kind of, he had some set of surgery and shit. Like, he sounds better than he did in the last record, but, the first five or six songs is pure classy A's Doc. The only thing that's lacking is his vocals. In the last half of the record, it's a little too ballady for my taste. But Doc about a killer record this year. I don't know. It's been a damn good year. So now they've kind of got my old man screams at sky out of me this year, ready to kind of dive into 2024 with like fresh ears for like new interesting shit.
Biggest disappointment of 2023. I'll start again with you, Richard.
Newest Godfrey record easily. Their last record, I love the EPF that I fucking love. This new one just did not cut the cheese. The female vocals, like, they're cool. When done right, work really well. But when it's just riffing, it's really cool. The vocals come in, just cut that shit that ruins all four momentum easily. New Godfrey, I'm over.
It sucks. Fuck that record.
Nah, there's two good songs. Two good songs, unfortunately. Not to justify it.
Two good songs. It's not a good record mix, sir. Bog, what about you?
I agree. It's a good EP.
Unless it's the Rhyme of Memory.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it did make your top 10.
That would have been a great EP.
To be fair, that's 40 minutes of music. Two songs is 40 minutes of music, so whatever. Bog, what about you? Biggest disappointment of this year?
You know, just as an event, I was sort of disheartened to see that they said Sepultura, like, which is still like, you know, the Derek Green version. They said that they're gonna disband after their most recent tour. In terms of like an album disappointment, I had high expectations for Black Braid 2, and even though it made my top list, I would have loved to have seen them go ahead and sort of claim the number one spot this year. So come on, guys. Number three. I said Master of Puppets moment this time around, but maybe I jumped the gun on that one. So Black Braid 3, or hopefully it's not going to be called that. Let's go.
I imagine it will be. My biggest disappointment of the year is the Rhyme of Memory from Panopticon. And that's just the how high standards I have for Austin Ludd and for Panopticon. I think I gave what the equivalent of a 7.5. If a 7.5 is like your disappointment and one of the biggest disappointments of the year, because I thought you were about to put out like a Rose to the North level God tier record, then that just shows how badass you are. Still a great record. It would have been an amazing EP with just Cedar Skeletons and the Blue Against the White.
Cedar Skeletons, too.
I'm thinking of like Ulta. I think their Belong EP was 2 tracks and 38 minutes. And it was one of my favorite EPs of a couple years ago. Nothing wrong with having a 2-track killer EP. Speaking of EPs, we're going to talk about our favorite ones before the end of the year, before we get out of here. But that's probably my biggest disappointment. Outside of maybe the inability of the Dillinger dudes to put aside their fucking beef, what is up with this reuniting with the original vocalist that no one fucking wants?
That album sucks. No offense. I don't ever talk about overrated records. Calculate Fitty when he did that under the knife. Ever talk, it's math course. The greatest thing. It's okay. The Greg shit's way better. I'm sorry. Get the fuck over it.
The punk rock dudes like Calculating Infinity more because the Greg's clean, sort of more, you know, I'll call it cheesy.
Made it better. Really. Well, I mean, it's regret.
They'll never forgive him for Black Bubblegum.
Yeah, as Duel said as Duel posted a few times in the Slack channel, hashtag gay for Greg, love the guy, made in times better. But that's what it is I think it's like the cult fucks of the punk rock community worship Calculating Infinity. And to me, that album is kind of a mess. So
maybe Weinman and Pussiato will never bury the axe. Maybe they're like the modern day System of a Down. There's like too much simmering. There's too much simmering tension beneath the surface that they'll never allow themselves to bury the hatchet and just be a really awesome band again.
Dude, you know, I'd love to see Dillinger reunite with Greg Puciato and get fucking Chris Broderick to stand in for Ben Weinman. Why not? He's an fucking great band. Like, let's go.
As Ben Weinman loves to remind everybody in the press, Greg owns no part of Dillinger. He was always a hired gun. He was a contract guy. So
he was one of the trash bangers in Slipknot, basically, right?
Dave from Slayer, Greg from Greg Christian Testament, and the guy that replaced the bass player, Deftones bass player, Chiche would die. Same thing. Hired them as like, you know, hired guns, essentially. So when they came back.
But unlike any of those examples, I mean, I think we'd all agree, hashtag gay for Greg, that Greg Puciato is like the best thing of Dillinger Escape Plan.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
I mean Ben Weinman is the guitar player. I mean,
he's amazing too. I'm not trying to take any credit away from Ben Weinman. I'm really not. Regardless of what I said on the podcast for the end of the night. But Greg, the energy he brings to all of those later records, everything from Setting Fire to Sleeping Giants to the bangers that are on Ironworks to One of Us is the Killer, like, yeah, man. Yeah. Just unfuckable body of work. And if there is a silver lining, it's that we get the solo project from Greg Puciato, Better Lovers as well. So get your act together, guys. Come on. We'd all love to have a Dillinger Escape Plan reunion. Before we get into what we're most looking forward to in 2024, did anybody have a favorite EP of this year? For me, it was U-Boatsman U-Bootsman from Cannon and Fieber. Kampfensturm and Die Havari. Fucking amazing. You'll never hear beeps again without saying in your head, Kampfensturm. Amazing.
I don't have a favorite EP, but I do have a favorite split, and that is Wolf Skull and Hexea. Wolf Skull is Dave from Imprecations, like punk, death punk band. And Hexea is like a black and punk band who's actually the Sun Hell's Headbangers working on a new record now. So they did a split record, and it's all the kills start to finish. And the cool thing is, on each side, they did covers where they helped each other with the covers. On the Wolf Skull side, they did a Evil Has No Boundaries Slayer cover where they help with Hexea guys help Wolf Skull out. And then on the Hexea side, they did Bathory, You Don't Move Me, I Don't Give a Fuck, which I don't recognize that Bathory song, but it's a fun cover, so they could, it's really cool to help each other out, and it's just straight great, like black and punk, raw, fuck you in your face. So if you're into that, definitely check out Wolf Skull and Hexea's Burn With Us, which is a very aptly titled album.
We've gone from gay for Greg to getting fucked in the face. Moving on into 2024, what are we all most looking forward to? I know. And why is it Kerry King's new project?
Yeah. Immediately what I thought of is, what the fuck is that going to look like?
I'm mostly looking forward to the full length from Cannon and Fieber. There's also supposed to be new records from Der Vegeiner Freiheit and Ulthe next year, two of my black metal darlings. And let's not forget, confirmed, I think, for October or September of next year, the new Black Dahlia Murder. What's that going to sound like?
It's the one that I'm like kind of gritted teeth like
with. I am as well, especially since they reunited their tour with some like bands. I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, even last time I saw them in the Palladium up here, they played with Chelsea Grin and at Cardiff Flex, I kind of see.
Tours are fucking whack these days. I mean, what is that tour that Exodus was just on with like
two? With Fit for an Autopsy. I like Darkest Hour. I like Darkest Hour a lot. But yeah, they've had a lot of that. Yeah, it's just fucking weird, man. Undeath is cool. They're good newer death.
That American Living Abroad, I don't have this problem. I get killer tour lineups all the time. Abbott, Toxic Holocaust, killer shit. What is it? Wayfarer and Enslaved? Fucking killer.
Sick lineup, dude.
Yeah. So I'm going to get to hear Heimdall and the fucking American Gothic set. Yes, sir.
I listened to that, like, it's not Piebald. What the fuck is it? Bald, whatever? That third band on that bill.
Svalbard. Svalbard.
I listened to that record and it's like, it's kind of like screamo core vocals over a band that maybe kind of wants to be atmospheric black metal. I don't know.
Attempts to be atmospheric black metal, but does not pass the test.
Some people like that vocal styling. I came up
with it. I fucking hate it.
I posted this a while back, but I attempted to listen to kind of those later Bathory records during sort of the Viking metal years. And I was like, dude,
Hammerheart shit.
Rough, man. Like, I can get a lot of leeway when it comes to certain things. Man, dude, the fact that those even exist was shocking.
Fucking.
It's why Bathory would be an incredible Under the Knife.
Fucking. Quithorn tried. Okay, listen. He tried. He has a lot of spirit of emotion to it, like me when I'm drunk singing, but just because I have spirit of emotion does not make it good. I'm sorry.
Richard, what are you most looking forward to in 2024?
2024, as far as new releases, I'd like a new Yob record. That would be great. Via Kalak, Irish Black Death, finally announced a new record coming out in February next year. Very stoked for that. That's really about it, honestly. Most bands I love put out a new record. As far as shows, really stoked for MDF. See My Dying Bride, been a fan for like 15 years, so to see them. Metal Threat to see, you know, fucking Horna to Surah 666. God to Throne has been a God to Throne. Never seen God to Throne before. So I'm stoked
for those two big fests. Came out in 2019. What the fuck is Opeth doing? I feel like we're
eating sandwiches
at this point. Yeah.
Fucking Mikhail's in his like pilgrim hat, living the 60s stuff, just living it up. It being fucking lame.
Spin in vinyl, like grown his own wheat. Like using, you can stone mill, like.
I didn't
not listening record. To death metal, that's for sure.
Yeah. He'll put on left.
Death metal since the early days of another rumored Under the Knife pick here with Morbid Angel.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Under the Knife episodes that never come to fruition. But we're going to do this band, this band, this band, and this band. And we come to the end of the year, we've got two.
Admittedly, but they were killer. Angel was one that we've talked about a lot. Like that one has come up.
That's a very choppy catalog.
I'm not sure it's anymore. I think it might be my pick, actually.
It's still your pick because we were supposed to do Alice in Chains. We've cock teased Alice in Chains like three or four times now. And then we switched it to a remake of Candlemass.
And Alice in Limbo.
We're already Hollywooding ourselves. We're doing remakes instead of anything new.
Dude, I think
out of ideas.
Was on the first part one of two.
He was. He was. R.I.P. Yeah. Whatever we do, I'm sure the Under the Knives would be sick. There's so many great choices. Bathory, Morbid Angel. Like Morbid Angel would be sick because like you get part one and part two it. And like part one would be like the Slayer part one, like the GOAT, unfuckwithable. Altars of Madness, Blessed Are the Sick, Covenant, Domination.
Fatals, Shade of the Flesh.
Incredible. And then in the second half, you get to have stuff like Illid Divinum and Sanus. It's like, yes. More fun to talk about. It'd be amazing. Be amazing. I'm struggling to think of anything else we need to cover here. That's right. Well, with that being said, thank you all so much for joining us here in the year 2023, listening to every episode of the Fundamentalist Podcast. There were only 16, but thank you so much for listening to it anyway.
Very much
so. If you disagree with anything we said, you want to add to anything we said, shut up. You want to send some music that you want us to talk about, like our boys in Mutilation Case from Hungary?
Fuck yeah.
Great you can shit. Reach out to us at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to Instagram and find us at thefundamentalistpodcast or on Facebook if you're a fucking boomer at thefundamentalistpodcast. We look forward to hearing from you in 2024 and beyond. The Fundamentalist Podcast will return, primarily Richard and I, but Bog, occasionally coming back in the future for Under the Knives and special review episodes. Thank you so much for listening to our end of year 2023 album countdown. It always is a special occasion. One, when Blackest of the Black and then the album reviews come down. It's my two favorite episodes of the year. We get to condense all the great records that we heard in the year in heavy metal all into one episode. So I look forward to it every year, and I look forward to starting the process and counting down to the next one in 2024, starting next month. So with that being said, thank you, Richard. Thank you, Pete, for joining.
Thank you.
Of course, anytime.
Cheers, everyone. Happy New Year's.
I'm your host, Jewel Guess, from the Fundamentalist Podcast. We hope you had a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year, and we'll be speaking with you in January. And until then, cheers.